Thank you for listening to this podcast from KX93.5, Laguna's only FM. We invite you to listen to more music and talk on our grassroots non-profit radio station in Laguna Beach, California, from anywhere in the world on kx935.com/listen or on our smartphone apps. But right now, here's that podcast from KX93.5.
I'm Tyler Russell, and we are hanging out in the tour bus of Max Bemis of Say Anything Now at House of Blues Anaheim. How are you, sir?
I'm great.
Yeah.
I'm actually really awesome.
You look really, like, pre-show chilled out right now.
I am. We've got a while till we play, so, like, I've got about an hour before I enter, like, the Red Bull chugging slash tequila drinking
right.
mode. So right now, like, you wouldn't really know me. So, you know, versus the person I'm going to become in like an hour.
Well, you
so,
have to really turn it on stage still.
Yeah,
I mean, over a decade of doing this, almost 20 years of doing it, actually.
Yeah.
And you still have to turn it on. So that's the key. Is it Red Bull, pre-show Red Bull?
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's weird. I've been doing that whole Shkapil pre-show ritual for so long that I don't really know what it would be like. I think in general, just going on stage immediately and the quality of the type of songs that we write kind of puts me in a completely different place than my normal self, which is like actually pretty reserved kind of guy most of the time. It just turns on, you know what I mean? It's just inherent in the type of, it would just be awkward to sing any of the songs we have without a lot of feeling or a lot of, you know, kind of chaotic.
Well, and like we were
emotion.
Saying, the Say Anything tour has kind of changed. I mean, your wife and two daughters are with you now.
Yes.
So that's quite a polarizing difference from what it used to be.
Yeah, it's weird. My tour experience has always been kind of, you know, obviously it's better having my wife and kids along because like it even further exacerbates the polarizing difference of being on stage versus not being on stage and what that's like. But I've always been the kind of guy, even when they weren't coming along and before I was even married, where I would, I don't know, I've never been like a big party guy and I've never, you know, been too heavy into the rock star quote unquote lifestyle. So, I mean, it's just kind of now becoming even more blatant that when I'm on stage I'm kind of a madman, and then when I go off stage I just kind of like to sit and read or play video games or watch TV and just sit and sleep because I mean I kind of save that energy for the performance. Always, I've always been that way. So having my kids along just kind of makes it even more reinforced that like there's the stage thing and then there's the not, you know, not on stage thing or of a not outputting art state, you know.
How do they acclimate to tour lifestyle, the girls?
They love it. I mean, they've been doing it their whole lives because their mom is in a band too. So, you know, it's going to be, you know, until they are free of us, that's probably going to be their lifestyle is just going on tour all the time. And we're probably going to homeschool them. So they'll just be rock kids, you know.
Who's going to do the teaching then?
I want to do a lot of it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Sherry will want to do some as well. Or maybe we'll have someone help out. But, you know, our goal is just to, like, always be together as a family. I mean, it's partially just a weakness on my part where I can't imagine, like, sending them off somewhere and, you know. Also, because I had some really messed up experiences in school and like high school specifically where I like was corrupted. So I'm like, you know, they're going to probably get corrupted at some point, but I'd like to, I don't know, offset it as much as I can with like compassion and, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah, they're probably going to start to read some stuff about their dad. And
exactly. That might be it. That might be
whatever.
It. Like, I'm going to do all that. I'm going to recreate that. Yeah, exactly.
And your wife is actually on several tracks on the new album, and I know she sings with you often, and we'll talk about that a little bit. But are you going to involve the girls, you think, in your music, too, at some point?
If they want it. You know, it's definitely not something we would push on them, but they're already very interested in singing and dancing and listening to music. So I feel like intuitively they'll want to at least experiment with it just as a what it should be, which is fun, you know? And if that's a path they choose to take in their lives, I mean, obviously we'll support that because that's what we chose to do. So
yeah. So let's talk about that new record. Don't Think It Is, that came out just a few months ago, kind of by surprise. You didn't lead up to it, you didn't announce it, but that was entirely intentional. So you want to explain that?
Yeah, we just kind of like, as we started making this record, it really kind of was shattering all these stereotypes of how I've made records in the past. Mainly the fact that there was Darren King, who was essentially the second band member on this record. And usually, even when there was official band members, they were less involved than he was on this record. And he co-wrote the music, and it was really just this one-on-one brainstorming session. So it really felt completely different than anything we had done. It was a lot less premeditated, and it had this really special kind of like momentum to it, where we're like, it was like kind of a not give a F like feeling as we made it. And we're like, man, I'm just loving this so much, and I just don't want to overthink anything, as we did every single part of it. And so when it came time to put it out, I mean, we started to realize ahead of time, like, I don't want to have to explain this thing. I don't want to have to like divorce myself from the like freedom that I've felt making it. So in the spirit of the sort of like impulsivity or whatever impulsiveness that governed all the creative choices, let's just like throw it out there, and it's still a record, and it's still just as much of an important record as any other record we've had to do. But in this case, you know, we just wanted it to feel like, oh, you don't have to worry about it for 3 months before it comes out. It's there. You listen to it. You could hear all the whole, you know, record as an entirety instead of a single and a video. And, you know, that's what we want, is to be an album band. And especially on this one, you know.
Did you notice the reception being any better or worse compared to when you released it in the traditional way?
I felt like it was better, but also more polarizing. So it's like, generally, I felt like there was a better response, but the people who hated it didn't really have time to process it and kind of like, you know, soften the edges of their hatred or like not getting it. So they were just like, whoa. And like, you know, they had to come out quick, you know, because for me, I'm not a big fan of negative criticism, even when maybe I'm just really easily impressed, but I like most art and most music. And I'm also not a fan of putting down artists or people, whatever. There are ways to put things besides being negative. But I feel like if you're one of those people that thrives off that, like suddenly being hit with the information instead of gathering your mind and being like, having a preconception, having the conception shattered or met, it's a whole thing for these like critics or haters or whatever. So it definitely threw them for a little bit of a loop. And I think we sort of like galvanized them. But then I think that the people who liked it, and especially like the majority of our fan base, were really excited by the idea that they didn't know it was coming. I mean, I'm the same way. If there's a band I really liked and they just were like, here's our new album, fully listen Beyonce. To it for free. Beyonce, exactly. Well, even, I mean, like, you know, when Kendrick Lamar did it, I mean, I was just thrilled. You know, I was just like, yes, here's the whole record. Like, you know, yes, there was a few. Maybe he teased a single or two, kind of, but like, yes, he teased one single, but like, it was just so sudden. And like, I love that, where you're just like, oh, now I get the whole thing, I can listen to it. So I think it had a positive impact, at least from where I stand.
Do you intend to identify one as a single, or just?
Yeah, we're the song Give a Damn is kind of the single, I guess, because we're shooting a video for it. And because it's, I guess, getting like minor airplay, which is like, it's definitely not a priority at this point. So we'll still treat a couple of the songs by shooting videos for them and stuff like that. But in general, it's definitely not a thing we care about anymore, like singling out one song and just putting everything we have towards that.
I do a show on our station called Full Album Fridays,
and that's awesome,
to listen to an entire record, because I think you're exactly right that it's so single driven now that people just pick up one or two songs and they never even listen to the way a band intended mm-hmm. for you to hear it all the way through. Mm-hmm. So I think it's cool. I hope more bands do that.
Yeah, and I actually think Spotify is helpful in that regard, because iTunes, before they started doing, you know, Apple Music, I think that was the most enabling of, like, okay, I know I'm just gonna, I like Drake, like I'm just gonna get this one Drake song because I know I like it. It's a little iffy if I'm gonna like more than just Drake single. But then when Spotify came out, you kind of realized, oh my God, Drake makes amazing full albums, and I don't have to pay any more than I would just to find that out. So it's like, you might as well listen to the whole album because you're not paying any more than you would for the single. So I think we're in a climate where if you do like full albums and if you want to delve into music the way that people did back in the day, I think you are really enabled to do so now. And it's, you know, I think it's a good time for music in that regard.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about the live show before we go. Obviously, you've been doing this for a long time. There's people like me who have loved you since I was 16, you know, awesome. Who probably still come to these shows. But yeah. Now you're seeing yeah. probably a dual audience of people just discovering you and yes. have known about you for a long time.
So yes.
When you look out, do you see any familiar faces, any longtime oh, yeah. fans? And,
all the time. Yeah. I mean, there's always the familiar faces. There's people who are becoming more familiar every single show. I really just love our demographic. It's always been weirdly like the same. I don't know. And I don't mean that the age group has remained the same, because obviously it's a lot of the fans have gotten older who still come to our shows. But it's just like this general quality of enthusiasm that I think has carried on since, you know, back in the day. We were never really one of those bands with like fair weather fans that yeah. sort of came and they only sang for, you know, Wow, I Can Get Sexual Too, or, you know, like we've been lucky enough to have the kind of live shows where people tend to know the words to all the songs and the new songs and the weird obscure deep tracks, and they know when to sing along. You know, it's one of those really blessed kind of experiences of where, you know, I don't think we would be as, you know, good quote unquote of a live band if it wasn't for the audience or whoever for some reason connects with our music. It's a certain type of person who's really unabashed with, like, you know, losing themselves at the show. And I, you know, so I've noticed that as a commonality, even though I do see faces change and some familiar faces and some not. That's like the constant, is that, you know, people are pretty crazy out there and definitely like uninhibited.
Do you answer the call to play requests from way back from like yeah, baseball I try to. Or whatever? From
I try to. I mean, we don't necessarily take requests on tour. Yeah. It's like happened like twice ever, but you know, when I'm making the set, I always think about, I'm definitely not one of those artists who's like, we gotta really get those new songs in their, you know, ear, and there are certain albums that just like literally didn't connect as well, so I tend to not pick as much from those albums. And you know, sometimes there's one song from an album like that where people did connect to it, and I, you know, we've had so many tours to quality control, you know, which songs are gonna like make people react the best, and then also which songs we've never played. There's always like a handful of songs from the old records, not even the new records, that have never been played that I know people know about because I see they, you know, they're getting tattoos of the lyrics, or they're like, I really love this song on Twitter, and we just never have had a chance to play them because we have so many songs.
Which one surprises you the most that people connect to?
This isn't a Say Anything song, but we thought it would be really fun to play a Perma song that's me and my wife's band yeah. on this tour with the full band. Come on. and I didn't realize how much people would know that song and all the words and yeah. treat it kind of like a Say Anything song. I thought like a few people would know it and it would be like a cute little aside, but it's been like a really awesome song to play on this tour. So I feel like the side project weird B-sides and, you know, all that stuff, like it actually, you know, that is when I get most surprised. Like, how do you know this? You know, like, so yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Max Bemis again of Say Anything tonight at the House of Blues. It's April 24th. Finally, you just released kind of a surprise record. So how are you possibly going to one up yourself now
next,
going forward?
I have some a pretty crazy idea. I can't give it away, but I have some pretty, I don't know if it'll be surprise again, but I definitely have some kooky ideas already for the next record.
Okay.
It's going to keep getting, keep it kooky for sure.
As always, you have for 2 decades now. I don't think it is. The new record from Say Anything is out now. We're KX 93.5. I'm Tyler Russell. Max Bemis, thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Awesome.